Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Fabulous new inventory. Check it out today. Great pre-owned inventory. That happens to be what fits your budget, then go for it. They have it. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
And again, down to Tristan Jarry. A steal! Josh Bailey scores! Josh Bailey on the turnover!
Just a reminder for Flyer fans that happens in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I'll still take the Isles W.
It happens in the playoffs when you're participating.
Yeah. I'd rather be rooting for my team than rooting for the Pens to lose every single playoff season, but that's another topic.
See, you root for people to lose.
Well, that's what you do. It's the rivalry. Something that the NBA is lacking right now, to your point from before.
You root for people to lose.
Yeah, it's what the rivalry does to you.
Oh. I got it. All right.
I will say this, though. I actually thought this was going to go seven, but after that, the way that ended last night, I think the Isles are going to finish it up tomorrow night.
I always love this, a team is down two games to none. Some must win tonight. No, it's not. Now, you're down three games to two? Now that's a must win. Now it's a must win. There you go. That is a must win when that happens, because if you lose, you're out. All right. So, let's bring in the incomparable one, Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome. Always a pleasure. Great to have you with us. I swear to you, we are going to talk to Neil Coulong. I swear we're going to. Now, I shouldn't swear. I'm not going to. This is the part, Matt, where you pick up the phone and you dial.
I enjoy Game 7. I get from a reporting standpoint, I can see why that might be tougher, especially after a loss. That's a tough locker room to have to deal with. But you love the spring because you got playoffs going in two sports. And for me, I remember back in the day, it was more like icing myself down after softball games and enjoying my descent into middle-agedness, watching some great playoff action. I felt like we felt some of that last night. If it ended as brutally as it did for the Pens, it was definitely that much more exciting for Islanders fans, which I'm not, but you enjoy the kind of back-and-forth nature of the NFL cycle.
Well, there's also the NFL cycle, and the Steelers have had great turnout at OTAs. I know our people are watching it here. There's nothing like watching. It's like watching kids in the backyard. What the heck? What's your thought?
It's watching the state-run version of what the kids in the backyard are doing.
Yeah.
I only bring this up because I just had a conversation with a gentleman on Twitter not too long ago. He didn't know that there's heavy media restriction when it comes to practice in general, but minicamp, it's even worse. You're not allowed to report on certain things. You're not allowed to get into specifics of what they're doing on the field. You can't film any team activities. You can only do individual drills. Really, as a reporter, you go there and you might be able to talk about 10% of what you see.
Right.
That might be a good day.
Mm-hmm.
So what you watch there is really just kind of the dog and pony show. It's getting Najee Harris recently just signed his rookie contract. Remember when that was a big deal? When rookies
sure.
might not sign right away? That drama's gone. So now in minicamp, it's like nothing. I mean, it's they're out there. You hope the guys don't get hurt. There isn't much to glean from it, but you know, good on the reporters that really do try to stir something up and really try to analyze what a guy looked like in a high knee drill. You know, I guess there's some utility to that to some readers. But by and large, yeah, it's good that they're out there. If anything, the talking point going into this stage of OTAs with the Steelers, that the minicamp portion was really about whether or not they would be there. They talked about a boycott league-wide. You heard a lot of that. Whether they got something ironed out or people just kind of went back on it, I don't know. But top to bottom, the fact that they're out there, it suggests, I think, forward movement in a lot of different areas, most of it having to do with restrictions brought on by the pandemic. Players, to some degree, you have to think reasonably, feel that it's safe enough for them to be there. I think a lot of it might have to do with players getting hurt off of the team facility and then getting cut the next day. But by and large, you're seeing good turnouts across the league for everybody not named Aaron Rodgers. And the reasons they're going there is to get the work in, kind of figure out what is going to be expected of them come training camp. And for the coaches, it gives them an opportunity to kind of see who's in shape, who's been putting the work in, and get some, you know, probably frowned upon intel from the players as far as what they might have to expect come July.
Yet the Eagles aren't.
So the Eagles didn't. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I missed that.
He talked it over with their players, with the players.
Interesting.
Because the culture, sure. like the culture, like that too. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's a voluntary thing. They don't want to do it.
It doesn't surprise me from a team like the Eagles. And I'm not bashing the Eagles, but the players over the last decade or so on the Eagles have been much more outspoken about things of this nature. And also having a first-year head coach, if you're player leadership, I could see why they would feel compelled to kind of set the standard that this is what they do. We're not going to buy into what's typically. I mean, you ask any NFL player, a big reason why teams like Pittsburgh, like New England, tend to be places people want to stay is because the coaching staffs that are in place are entrenched. They're not going anywhere, and the players know that. The new coaches, especially the younger ones, when they come in, they oftentimes want to lay down the law and say, we're going to do things in, you know, highly aggressive way, and we're going to be all energy, and they really expect full throttle all the time. You can see how popular Matt Patricia got in Detroit when he left New England and started to do things, you know, kind of his own way. I think that was dead 2 years in, and they gave him a third for whatever reason. But for a team like the Eagles to kind of announce to their first-year head coach, we're not obligated to be there. You can't judge one of us if none of us are there. So we're gonna do this. I think it takes guts for sure, and we'll see the value of that. And with it, you know, kind of as a primer, I guess, maybe even early in the season, it's going to get ridiculed if they don't do well starting out of the gate. But it makes you wonder how many of these off-season activities are really needed. You know, do the players need to have this? Do the coaches need it? To evaluate the players, to train the players, and to show them what they're going to do. I've heard as much as there is to hear on both sides of the coin from players and coaches, and it's split pretty much down the middle. There's no real room for negotiation when it comes to the amount of work putting in. Players want less, and coaches want more. I don't think that changes.
Well, there's another part of it, too, I think. I think there's some veterans that just don't want to be in a camp where their job is always being evaluated, and guess what? You know, they just don't want to be in the camp with the kids. They don't want to be there because they don't want to be put in a spot where the kid looks way better.
And not only that, but they don't want to give the coaching staff in the front office a runway of time to evaluate that.
Yep.
And there's plenty of time with nothing to do come full mini camp. To the end or the start of training camp, that's the dead period of the NFL. They're still working. They're still doing things. But I know this story. I'm not going to say that this is factual or not, but I have heard this from two unrelated people. There was a Steelers offensive lineman who coaches looked at Ben Roethlisberger's wedding during the lockout back in 2011. They didn't like the way he looked at the wedding, and he got cut like 2 days into training camp. Now, as you might recall, back in 2011, the Steelers had absolutely no sense of what they were doing with their offensive line. They brought this player back after like 5 weeks. He was okay then. They ended up paying him twice to apparently not have looked the way they wanted him to look at a wedding, and then have to bring him back to save their season because their offensive line was almost non-existent by that point. So, yeah, there's absolutely a high level of mistrust from the players to the coaches as far as when they're showing up. If it's not something that's mandatory, you have to look at it from a health and safety perspective as well. You know, it's still high activity. There's still high-level competitors. I can go at 75%. That doesn't mean the guy across from me is going to go at 75%. They're going to yell at me to go harder, even though they're not allowed to do that. There are all kinds of very thin layers between what they're allowed to do and what they end up doing. And if you don't trust the coaching staff, you can understand why a player might not want to put himself in that position. So I don't necessarily blame them for that, but it just seems like this really shouldn't be this hard of a thing. You know, the spirit of the law here really is what should be incorporated overall, and it really just doesn't seem like that's the case all the time.
No, and so, I mean, the Eagles went about and they modified their off-season model after, quote, really good conversations with the players. Okay. There you go. That's a... Yeah. And by the way, you know, the Indianapolis, which is Sirianni's old group, okay, the Bears tweaked their schedule, completely eliminated 1 week of OTAs. I mean, to me, I think you have to have a desire to get better. What I mean, it is your job, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and a team like the Steelers that appears to be focusing on throwing swing passes to Najee Harris all afternoon. I was just watching a couple more that they threw to him. I'm not sure if that's the same loop that it's on, but it's the same.
It's the same play over and over.
He looks good in shorts, running against air. And there's definitely no blades of grass that are tackling him, and that's a positive. He's not hurt. He's healthy still. Looks good. Overall, I think when you have a group of players that are getting together wanting to commit to win a championship, and they've played together for a while, you really have kind of the law of diminishing returns that's going to come into play when it comes to the physical nature of the game. I've joked about it on this program a couple times, but Pat Freiermuth and the blocking dummy are going to be best friends. That's a rookie. You let him go and do that. Veteran players who have done it all, they've hit the sled a billion times, there's only so much they're really going to improve by continued work in that regard. What they need to do is get together and communicate. What they need to do is talk over what they're doing and get on the same page with one another. And I know Mike talks about this all the time as far as the Steelers go. Their mini camps are designed to show really the players what they're planning to do at training camp so they can prepare for that
right.
As early as they can get to do it with them when they're on the field. Now, they can send out, you know, on their group chats all day what they're going to do, but showing them and kind of giving them a sense of the pace of how they want to go through things, I think that part is important. So I would call it more like orientation that they're mandated to go to. As far as making it a conditioning outlet, I don't think that that's necessarily the best idea, though I do understand for a team that's investing millions upon millions of dollars on the guys who are out on the field, getting a sense of whether or not they can run from here to there without collapsing is probably in everybody's best interest. You know, get a sense of where they are for a variety of reasons. So I can understand to a certain degree getting a sense of conditioning, but working them really hard, I think probably your competitive nature has to kind of take a back seat to common sense. I mean, you can get better not by drilling each other, not in pads anyway. You can get better by showing up there and communicating, going over, especially when you have a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach, a new everything coach, it seems like. You really kind of getting to know who they are on the field and getting a sense of what you're going to need to do come training camp when it's not optional, when you have to earn your job.
Yeah, you do. You do. Do you learn anything out of this?
From what we get reported on in minicamp, no. No, it's, again, going back to what I was saying before, you're really only allowed to report on maybe 15,
right.
maybe 20%
right.
of
exactly.
what goes on. If I am there and watching, I can see some stuff that I'm not allowed to ask anybody about, or at least nobody's going to give me the time of day if I do, and I can't write about it.
But it does give you deep background, right?
You do get some background in the sense that it prepares you to ask the right question of kind of the unspoken veteran Steelers designee who might answer the question if you're allowed to know that day. So it's like, if you happen to see, I'm just going to throw out a random example, a player that you're used to seeing at guard take snaps at tackle, you go ask a certain player who's usually kind of friendly to you, hey, did you notice that this guy was playing at tackle today? Probably going to say no. If he says no, you can't report it. If he says yes, he confirms it, then you can. That's the rule, at least within the Steelers. Most other teams have stuff that's kind of set up like that. It prepares you to ask certain questions that can get confirmation so you can run it. After it kind of gets broken, then you can talk about that background piece. But I'll say this. The Steelers reporters know far more than they're allowed to report.
Right,
and
of course.
From what I've gathered around the league, the Steelers are a little bit tighter on that than most other teams are. Some are pretty loose. You know, it looks like Tampa Bay under Papa Arians they're open about everything. You know, he has no problem holding court and talking about everything that's going on with his team. The Bills, for example, Sean McDermott is a strict disciplinarian. He keeps the media very much in check. There's certain points that's all they talk. They won't speak any more than that. It really varies team to team. So the reporters who are there, they can learn a lot, but you're going to notice there are only about six or seven topics. Any of them are going to be reporting on across the league throughout minicamp, and it's really because those are the only things that coaches are going to speak to right now, and not every team even lets all the players speak to the media. If they're not available, they're not available. There's nothing you can do about it, but some are better about that than others.
All right, so what does that tell us about the NFL, that there's this much interest in something where really there's not a lot going on? There's no game at the end of it. And yet it overshadows the NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, everything. It overshadows everything.
I think really it's the NFL is in a beneficial position, and I feel that this is more so to a significant degree more than the three other major North American sports, in that the NFL is truly the only one that is a 52 a week a year sport.
Yep.
52 week a year sport, I can say that. The other sports, there isn't they try to do like a combine type of thing for the NBA that isn't very exciting. They have drafts. Certainly, they try to make all those drafts a much bigger deal than they are, and they're just not. They're trying to find ways to make their off seasons more exciting, and in the end, the NFL just is more exciting throughout the whole year. In my opinion, it's because the NFL lends itself similarly to, I hate to use this because I'll get ripped on it because I don't follow this at all, but professional wrestling.
Right.
Professional wrestling, you have matches. There are things like that, and that's all fine and good. But if you suck the air out of the whole event, the vast majority of everything they're doing is yelling at each other on microphones. It's not about actually wrestling or being engaged in the activity.
Right.
It's the show that comes with it. That's what
right.
people get into so much. The NFL, I don't think, is deliberately trying to make it like professional wrestling, but the personalities, the drama, all of the rules that come into it, there are multiple seasons within the NFL season. And with that, in my mind, there's far more interest in the draft for a lot of people than there are about the games. In fact, if anything, I've said this to my boss in failing to negotiate for raises, the off season is busier than in season is.
Yeah.
You get much more used to a routine during the season, and it's more relaxing. In the off season, around the draft, something like that, it's you're all out for five straight days. You don't do anything like that in hockey at all. There's nothing like that in baseball.
Right.
These things are not, they're not all built the same, and I'm not saying that makes the NFL a better game. It's just as a marketing tool. the sport itself in the NFL, they've built itself up to be much more in-depth, much more intriguing throughout the whole year. So something like minicamp, and I'm telling you flat out that you can't report on most of anything that happens inside of minicamp.
Right, that's right.
That is more interesting to fans because, one, as I learned today, there are fans that don't realize that, and two, it's football. It's something. Right. It's they're on the field. It's action. It's a tentpole event that shouldn't have really any news significance at all, and they make sure that there is no news significance, and people will still want to watch that. There are still, there's airtime being given to Najee Harris running screen passes on repeat over and over again. And I'm sure there's plenty of conversation on Twitter breaking it down, declaring him an all-pro player his first year. You know, people love the intrigue. They love the planning, the preparation of it. I just think that football lends itself well to that as a sport, the way that they play it. And it can't really be duplicated. And the NFL is just smart enough to figure out that people are still going to watch it, so let's keep giving it to them.
Well, that's why we keep having you on. Doesn't matter if it, we always have you on 52 weeks, so that's fine.
Yeah. It's perfect for me.
My friend, thank you so much, as always.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Neil Kulong. By the way, one quick note. I don't know if anybody heard about this or not. Did you hear what happened to Jordy Bohannon, the guard from Iowa?
I didn't, no.
He got sucker punched at a restaurant, bar, or whatever, and head injuries, and has been in the hospital. Wow. Our best to him. Really nice family, by the way. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Final half hour. We're going to let Matt take over and tell us everything he doesn't like in sports. And we will need the full half hour. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Check out the new inventory on the lot, Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Maybe the budget says, pre-owned inventory. Well, you can't go wrong there either. It comes with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and they have a wide selection there. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, Matt, let her rip. Go ahead. This is the part where we previewed that you would just rip apart everything in life.
Well, what do you
want
to know?
Say? Well, I mean, your problem is where to start.
I mean, I already gave my beef with Rodgers and / the Packers and Cam Hayward, so.
You didn't like Cam Hayward defending Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, the number of times I've defended you and you didn't get mad.
Well, it's not that I didn't like it. It's just, I don't know. There was nothing really to defend, in my opinion.
But it depends on what you're asked. Kind of throws you a curveball when I do that.
But what was he asked?
That's what I mean. You don't know what he was asked. He may have been asked about, hey, what do you think as a guy that's been played all these years about the, when Roethlisberger gets criticized? Well, at that point, you have to talk about it.
Well, if that was the way it was worded, then I would have a problem with the question.
I'm just saying, well, there's actually nothing wrong with the question. What's wrong with the question?
What's wrong with the question is you're just trying to get something out of him so you can have his story. Because there's nothing, there's criticism about Ben Roethlisberger. There always is, but criticism is, it's nothing new. We all knew this was coming about him. He's 38 years old.
Every question you should be asking should be about a story or a story you're going to need later. Something minor, for example. I talked with the manager of the Spikes on Sunday, as a matter of fact. There's several questions that, it doesn't really not for air, but I need a deep background. I'll give you one. For example, when you're a manager of a minor league baseball team and a pitching coach for a minor league baseball team, you have to file nightly reports for the club. On this level, the MLB Draft League, which, by the way, Williamsport's playing its home opener tonight at 7:05 at Bowman Field, well, you have to file reports. Well, I'm not going to air that. But it's something I wanted to know as to how his job works. And then when I was doing the broadcast last night, I mentioned how important it's going to be for him to keep really precise notes, because at some point, some scout or GM or assistant GM or player personnel person is going to say, hey, what do you think of X? And he will have notes about X already put together, even though he didn't have to file a formal report. You have a problem with that question?
In that case, no. But what I'm saying is if there's no story, then there's no need to beat a dead horse, is what I'm saying, when it comes to Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, he's been an issue, and you're talking about an issue in terms of how people perceive the season, and they did not go out and get a quarterback to compete with him for that spot. So, what does a veteran think about what the other guy's doing? It's all right. It's okay to ask that question. You expect him to go out there and defend his teammate. You do expect that.
Right. He should defend his teammate when asked, but I'm just saying to put it out there as this continued harped criticism, I think, is just a little over the top. Because what we're talking about with Ben Roethlisberger right now is a guy that is in the twilight of his career. It started to show physically last year. We knew it was coming even during the 11-0 start. We know you're like, yeah, he got away with this and got away with this. That was kind of the theme, one of the themes of the Steelers 11-0 start. Then when they slid and lost their last five games, that's when those problems really started to come out. I'm like, oh yeah, now they're not getting away with it. And then of course the Browns game happened and everybody gets a piece of the blame pie for that one. And then we start all the offseason talk that we've seen since the end of the year. So what I'm saying is there's nothing new to ask about other than, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, we know he's our guy. We know we can still win with him. And that's all you need to say. That's all you need to ask for a reporter side of things. You don't even have to ask it, really. You just say how you navigate this season where Ben is. And then if he wants to go out and say, hey, he's too much criticism, well, then fine, that's on him. And he has every right to do that, and maybe and there's nothing wrong with that, and that speaks highly of a franchise quarterback that you have guys just defending you out in the blue.
Well, here's the issue with Roethlisberger. I think the primary issue is that, look, in the organization, he's won. And he's won two Super Bowls for him. Now, the first one, look, they won in spite of him. It is, I guess, by far the lowest quarterback rating of any Super Bowl-winning quarterback. But the second one, look, I know Santonio Holmes got the MVP. Roethlisberger should have been the MVP. He was fabulous that game against Arizona. So when he's accomplished things that other quarterbacks in the league who have a lot of praise haven't, you don't blame them for trying to hang on to him for as long as they can. And the question is, at some point you do have to replace him, and the Steelers have not really come up with anything where you sat back and go, okay, now I see where they're going with it. I don't know where they're going with that after he's done. It's almost like it is all or nothing right now with him. And he was coming off a severe elbow injury, and I think last year, to be honest with you, I thought he did the best he could with the darn thing. Now, he should be a little bit better this year, only because he's had another year of rehab. You know, a little stronger. I think that makes a big difference. A lot of times the second year after an injury like that, you are better. So we'll have to see. But he also may have, we'll see, he may have a better running game this year. Now he may have. We'll see. Then there's your guy. Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
That is correct.
I have no idea how he's going to do. I really don't.
Although
I am
generally optimistic.
I think he's good. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's a Pro Bowl guy or anything like that. But I think he's good. He's better at it than I thought it was going to be.
At least I'm more optimistic now post-draft than I was pre-draft. Because the weapons he now has at his disposal, I think, is going to make him better and more comfortable.
He still has Jalen Reagor. All right, so...
But because, see, I mean, was it a great year for Jalen Reagor last year? Obviously not. No, he had the injuries and this and that. Should the Eagles have taken Justin Jefferson at the time? Yeah, why not? We get that. But at the same time, I really didn't get enough sample size of him either because he was out for all these times. I saw flashes in the Washington game week one and maybe one other game this year and last year, and that was about it. So there's a lot I need to see from him, too. And if he is as advertised with the speed, and Nick Sirianni just said, and he just said today, Jalen Reagor did to the media that he's going to be put in the slot and also on the outside, and I think that's beneficial for him too. And I think maybe you can see what the Eagles might have saw in him, even though it was a reach. So I'm not ready to put him aside and call him a bust yet either.
See, I don't do 20/20 hindsight too often. I said the day after they picked him, I said I didn't like the pick. Anytime that you have to come up with a list of excuses why he was not productive, that's when I'm like, well, the quarterback, and why did it? Oh, geez. Okay, great.
Well, I think for him it was pure injuries. I don't think anything had to do with the quarterback situation. It was just he wasn't on the field.
I wasn't a big fan of the pick either.
Like I said,
they talked a lot about the quarterback. Oh, it's like sitting there. I watched some video and went, what? Okay.
But I'm just saying, in terms of my observation, I think it's because he didn't play. He missed five games in his rookie season. That's it. Spells a disaster if you're trying to be competitive. So I got to see more from
college.
The kid. Yeah,
I've seen enough to look back and say, I mean, there's a reason why they drafted Devontae Smith. They know they didn't draft right last year. That tells you a lot.
Well, also in the fact that they're still thin. Even if Jalen Reagor was good, they have nobody else. They still had to make that move. They needed more weapons. Even if Jalen Reagor was good, I would still take Devontae Smith.
And I never would have picked Jalen Reagor.
I never would either. But all I'm saying is I still want to see more from him before I make a final prediction. I'm not ready to call him a bust yet. And if he was good, I still would have picked Devontae Smith because that's how many holes this team has right now, or had.
I think it was an admission they made a mistake.
And if it is, then it's on them. And we've talked about that before.
See, but you want to fire the owner. I mean, does our owner know you want owners fired?
Yes, he's aware of that. He's aware of my frustrations, but he knows none of that is towards him personally.
Oh, brilliant public statement now.
We've had these conversations before. He understands my Eagles frustration. Because he has his own frustrations with his own football team, even though they're looking up right now. He knows.
Boy, I don't know. Offensively, I'm not comfortable with what they have offensively. Defensively, the Redskins are pretty good. Or, you know, Washington, whatever they want to call be called this month. They're pretty good.
I agree, yes.
Yeah. Offensively, they aren't. They have one big one guy that's a really good receiver in Terry McLaurin. Running game's okay. The quarterback situation, eh. If it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're going to have to protect him, but they did protect Alex Smith last year. I don't know. I'm not so sure about them either. If the Steelers were to move to the NFC East, they'd A, have the best quarterback, and B, would have the best team. So,
oh, yeah, they would win by a mile.
Yeah. Now, Dallas is obviously the team to beat in the division. I only said that to make you mad.
I still think Washington and the Giants are the two best teams right now in the division.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see moving forward what happens with Dallas, because Dallas has put so much money into Dak Prescott. This has nothing to do with Dak Prescott's talent, zero. It has to do with the monetary commitment they made to him. And again, when the Seahawks made the monetary commitment to Russell Wilson, he had won a Super Bowl and had been to another Super Bowl. When the Packers made the monetary commitment to Aaron Rodgers, he had won a Super Bowl. When Patrick Mahomes got a monetary commitment, he had won the Super Bowl. When Dak Prescott got a monetary commitment, they hadn't even been to a Super Bowl. And my point is that on those rookie contracts, they were able to put teams around very talented quarterbacks to win. The Cowboys have had Dak Prescott on a fourth round rookie contract and did not take advantage of it. Now, they're financially going to have their hands tied because of that contract and won't have the financial flexibility to build around him.
Absolutely. It was the contract for Dak came 1 year, at least 1 or 2 years too late. And here's the other thing, too. Both sides of the ball, especially defensively, if you're going to finally count on the talent on paper, if you're going to use that argument, to me that's completely irrelevant, because I'm no longer thinking or have the expectations that these guys are all of a sudden going to play the way they're supposed to. This is a 500 team at best, until they prove it otherwise. And if they haven't proven it by now, they'll never prove it.
I think for them, they don't have the financial flexibility to get past that right now. They just don't. They've got so much money tied up in their quarterback. I know. Look, and he's their best hope at winning. And I don't think this deal about, you know, they waited 1 or 2 years. These teams are waiting as long as they can for these contracts. They're trying to get 5 years in under a rookie contract. They're not trying to, hey, let's do one now. And all of a sudden they're tied up monetarily earlier. That's why they wait. We'll take a break. Kyle, do you see what we're talking about here? Somebody on the show has to be the steady Eddie type all the time, because he's constantly standing out on the ledge and somebody's got to talk him down. Back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the show today. By the way, the Williamsport Crosscutters home opener tonight. They've waited 631 days for their home opener. They're going to get it tonight, 7:05 at Bowman Field. Cutters won 6-5 over the Spikes last night. Good game. And tonight, Bowman Field, it is Williamsport's turn to have a home opener tonight. Gabe Sinacropi and company do a fabulous job. And our thanks to Gabe for being on the show yesterday. But I want to make sure we got that in before the end of the show. Then after that, I think Williamsport's then home again, then State College, they're not home again until Friday, and of course they're talking about rain. But, yeah. Oh, boy. That time of the year. Sometimes minor league baseball, you almost wonder, like, there are certain parts of the world where you'd like to play a minor league baseball game. And the reason is you could solve the drought in that country. Oh, my goodness. Now, watching yesterday, it was a little chilly last night. Tonight's going to be nice, though. You know, warm. Tomorrow's supposed to be nice, warm. Then you get to Friday. Friday, talking about some showers again. All right. I saw your manager Aaron Boone was on TV this morning being interviewed. He's so good at his job, he can take time off and just talk to people.
What was it even about? I didn't see this.
It was actually about finances. It was actually pretty good. He did a good job. Yeah, he's well spoken. He was on TV for years. He's well spoken.
Which
is fine. Did the suit approach you about being paid in something called suit coin?
I have not had that conversation yet, no.
You sure?
At least to my knowledge. I'll look at my paycheck this upcoming week.
This concern they're going to pay you in suit. They're going to pay that he wants to. As soon as Roger finds out, it'll get nixed, right? But he came up with this great idea called suit coin. All right? I said, what's it closer to, Bitcoin or Dogecoin? Bitcoin didn't win.
Clearly.
I said, who came up with this? He said, suit light. All right, so it's
there
good
you
to
go.
Be around it. It's great to be around innovators, isn't it?
Always.